Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel in Jesus' mighty name. Welcome to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joel Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class and also of the Commonwealth of Israel. Tonight we are dealing with part two of Spiritual Warfare. You know, we touched bases on it earlier this week, and we want to thank God for allowing us to get back to it this tonight, right? So we were dealing with what is spiritual warfare? What is it to us? What do it mean to us? You know, everybody thinks spiritual warfare is when, you know, somebody has got to be exercised or some devils and all this old type of madness, and it got to be all staged and dramatic and sensationalized, and people got to be going through fits like, all this kind of madness and whatever, you know, like they seen in films and cinemas, you know, up until that point, up until films like The Exorcist and stuff like that, you didn't have that kind of sensationalism, you know, but you had people that was vexed with spirit, and they really fell out. If they were vexed with spirits, they would fall out. People that were speaking in tongues, they were doing those things. And then somebody took that and twisted it and turned it into something that's holy. Like, that's from God. And that the apostles and the prophets did that. And you can't read one apostle, one disciple, or one prophet performing those things, like speaking in an unknown tongue. Tie my bow tie, tie my bow tie, tie my bow tie. No, that's not scripture. And no, you can't find nobody doing that. And no, you can't justify Paul doing that. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words with my own understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Knock that off. Stop lying on that prophet. Stop lying on that apostle. Stop lying on that disciple. That man will testify against you and say, no. I'd rather speak 5 words with my own understanding. Let me see, what could be 5 words? Keep the Sabbath day. Ooh, that's 4. That's all you need to know. The Sabbath began on Friday night. There go 5 words. The Sabbath don't begin on Sunday. Yep, there go another 5 words. See? That's 5 words with understanding. Instead of going, tie my bow tie, tie my bow tie, tie my bow tie, and nobody know what you're talking about. I don't, and I don't care, because that don't make sense to me. It never did, and it never will, because when I was in these churches and I was seeking the Lord with all my heart and all, you know, I said, man, you know, I got to find God. Because, you know, this dope game ain't going to work for me. You know, eventually I'm going to end up getting killed. I'm going to end up in prison or probably end up in a wheelchair. And I none of them options was appealing to me, right? So I had to get out of it, you know. And well, actually, God was calling me out of it because I was in it thick. And then my man Samson showed up, Big Sean Richards. He showed up, and he showed up at my job looking for a job. He rode in my truck and said, hey, man, don't you know you're an Israelite? Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh, for real? You know, at that time, I was scrambling. I was hustling. I could care less what he was talking about, you know, because he wasn't talking about what I was talking about. So, you know, but it was cool because I wanted to get him a job because he's a brother and all, you know. Aside from that, I could care less where he was coming from because money rule all things, you know. Something like that, you dig what I'm saying? So I really didn't flow with where he was at the time. And then God shook me up, shook my job up, money got short, unemployment ran out, and my dope game was, you know, it was hot because, you know, it had got hot in the city at that hour. It was just everything just came to a head. So I went up to my, you know, my man's class, man, which is the Israel of God on 75th Street back in 1992. I think it was 91, 92, one, I think it was 92. And I went there, and my man was sitting there, and this had to have been like about 8 months after I ran into his, you know, after he talked to me about it. But I remember he said it was on 75th Street off of Kingston. And, you know, I went to South Shore, so I, you know, that was an easy fit. I was an easy kill because I knew where it was. Walked in there, sat next to my man. You could have bought him for a dollar because he didn't see me coming. He thought I was just blowing him off, but he didn't know God was moving. You know what I'm saying? So you can't always expect because the word didn't hit somebody that moment. Because I'm a witness that, you know, hey, you plant the seed, it may show up a week later, a month later. And like my man Shaq said, Mike Shackelford, he said he heard the word, and he was living in Roseland. And it was like 7 to 8 years later before he ran into the Israel of God. So you never know when that seed will pop. All you got to do is make sure you plant it, because you don't know if you're sowing the good ground. Don't never judge a book by the cover. Judge the spirit, right? So, with that being said, let's get started. Look, if I get my brothers and sisters, we can stand and face Jerusalem. Brothers, if you can stand and uncover your heads, and sisters, if you can stand and cover your heads, we'll approach the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren, and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them also a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. So, once again, the title of this precept is spiritual warfare, right? Spiritual warfare, beware spirits. And no, we're not going to get off in sensationalism and how, you know, we exercise these many devils out of this woman or this man, and he fell all off. He was foaming at the mouth and all that. Man, listen, this ain't even that. We don't even do things like that. We don't play with the word of God like that. We ain't trying to get cut off or reprobate mind, either one of them actions, on playing with the word of God. You know what I mean? Or he sends some real ones on us or to us just for the purpose of to show you that he is God and stop playing with these devils. No, the real exorcism start with you. What do you mean? The real exorcism start with exercising the spirits that's inside of you. People think, you know, hey, I discern spirits. Really? You do? I mean, you don't want to tell me that, but if you do tell me that, I'd be like, really? You do? How so? And, you know, some of us will go as far as say, well, you know, somebody, you know, I can feel the spirit. I can feel it. I can feel a presence. I can feel if it's good or evil. Well, man, you know, to me, that could be an emotion. I can't roll with that because that's, you know, that's a feeling. Feelings are emotions. I need the truth. I need the truth of God. How do you know that you in the truth and not speculation? You see what I'm saying? How you know you're dealing with somebody that really have a gift or no? You know, that thing. No, that I can't move with that. I can't flow with that. I can't flow with anybody that says, I feel this or that. You never hear Jesus say, I feel. You never hear the apostle say, I feel something. Jesus said, somebody touched me. He knew it. He said, somebody, my virtue is gone. Somebody touched me. He said, and they said, no, this, Lord, you had a whole lot of people around you. No, man, somebody touched me. And a woman came clean, and she said, I did, because she had an issue of blood for almost a whole being. And she confessed her fault, and that's what he was looking for, if she was going to continue to hide or she was going to come up and confess her fault, you see. And too many of us would take the low road and hide. Whereas this woman stood up and gave herself up and took that thing. She said, if I could just touch the board of his garments, his fringes, if I could just touch him, I'll be healed. And that spirit was in her to know that, but it was uninvited because he didn't invite her to do it. But when she did it and he asked her of it, she owned it. And that's what's up. That's what we do, right? Right. So let's look at this. Let's start this in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, that's the first thing we got to do. The first exorcism is going to start with you. So you got to stop all this other stuff, man. Stop looking around. You know, you've been in some church, some guy been talking about, I come against you in the name of Jesus, or one of these super faith healing churches. All of them got put on blast through this COVID madness, man. You ain't see no hen running through the churches, running through these hospitals and all that with this COVID madness talking about come out. You ain't see none of that. What was all these faith healers? All of them was put on blast. The Lord put them on blast. He said, and if you still send your money to them, you worse than a fool because you didn't see that they didn't have no substance. I watch people spend their whole life following a ministry, and then as soon as this COVID hit, them preachers disappeared. Wait a minute. They had all this faith when they was in front of everybody and had everybody come down on you need healing. You need deliverance. You need this, and you need that. But then when this COVID hit, they fainted. They fell like withered leaves because that's all they ever was. It was pretentious. Liars, and they were living off the people, and God exposed them. Now, let's get into some book, and let's really look at these things. And then Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Now, this is the first thing we got to keep in mind, you know, because those of us that want to say we believe in God got issues with brothers and sisters because of something you heard, because of something Somebody told you? Well, tell you. That's not love. That's respect a person. That's a scorning spirit. That's having disdain for somebody you don't even know. Or their phone number to even ask them what the problem is. Or to pray with them concerning this issue that you just heard about. That devil is you, not them. You. Let brotherly love continue. 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels in unawares. And the first thing we read this, man, you know, to an angel. Okay, that's probable. But that's not what this scripture means. Well, it says you're going to talk to angels in unawares. Well, that may be so, but that's not what this scripture means. You know why? Because the next verse interpreted. Watch this again. It says, I'm going to read 1-3. It says this, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels in unaware. Remember them that are in bonds. What? Bonds. As bonds with them, and them will suffer adversities as being yourself also in a body. What do you mean in bonds? They were bonds in cords of affliction, whether it be sicknesses or illnesses or whatever. Those are devils, man. Those are devils that are attacking you spiritually, called anxiety and stress. Or they could be attacking you physically, as Jesus when it came to the person of palsy. Those things. You see, we have to be conscious of that. So he said, as being bonds with them, remember them that are in bonds. Let brotherly love continue. Remember them that are in bonds. So he's laying out slow. There are going to be some of us still in bonds. He set us free with the baptism, not that we could go get back dirty again, but he set us free that we may set others free. Remember them that are in bonds. Let's go into Isaiah. Let's go into Isaiah. Chapter 57. No, that 57 is the Sabbath. 56. Isaiah 56. And it says this. It says 56:1. It says, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near. Nope, this is the Sabbath. So it must be 58. Yep, 58. I was wrong. It's in 58. I was close. I was only 3 chapters off. This is a big book. So, hey. Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and in the house of Jacob their sins. This ain't about, you know, patting somebody on the back. He said, cry aloud and don't spare the fact you're finna tell these people they got sins they need to be delivered from. You know, show my people their sins. In the house of Jacob, he said, show my people their transgressions, in the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, they know God. God forbid if they be the ones that say, Lord, we did this in your name and we did that. He said, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness. Oh, that's a question. As a nation that did righteousness. That's not saying that we are, but we acting like we are, right? But he's going to tell us what our sin is. Listen at him. And forsook not the ordinances of their God. The first thing you start thinking, well, when did I pollute the Sabbath day? And when did I worship idols? I keep the Sabbath day and I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't eat pork. I honor my mother and father. I don't steal. When have I forsook the ordinances of God? He's going to tell us. Watch this. He said, they ask me of the ordinances of justice. They delight in approaching God. We ain't got no. See, he's not talking about the world or sinners that's among Israel. You know, like Barabbas ain't going to be like, hey, man, what's up with the Sabbath day? And what's going? Barabbas ain't about that. So Barabbas was a murderer and a thief. Wherefore have we fasted? Oh yeah, these are holy rollers. Listen at this. Wherefore we have fasted, say they. He's busting up. He's telling us about ourselves. Wherefore we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wait a minute. He's not hearing. He said, wherefore we have afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure in exact all your labors. He's not talking about the atonement. He's talking about we could be fasting, or we could be a fasting in prayer and still be gossiping about somebody. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about us putting our mouths on other people. This is that pleasure we get, you know, knowing somebody dirt. And I'm going to tell you something. Those of us that like to tell, man, be up in people's business, Satan will make sure you get all the business you can handle just so that you can get caught up in the lake of fire. So don't think you're coming up. Don't think that because you know somebody dirt, that make you better. That only adds to the fact that the Lord said, an evil ear give heed to a lying tongue. Whoops. So you're not winning souls, you're losing. Let's look at this a little further. He said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate. Ye smite with the fist of wickedness. Shall ye not fast as ye do this day and make your voice to be heard on high? How do you smite? He said, why are you fasting? See, all this is spirit. How you fasting and you debating something that you don't even know about? I presented precepts to people. Like, this is one that I have presented some time ago. I like to talk about it because we ran through four elders' mouths. No, I ran through three elders. The first one, I brought it to the first elder. First elder was like, man, I got to look at that. And it was this. You know, Jesus talked about the tree having 3 years. And then the fourth year, if it don't show any fruit, cut it down. So I read in the law that a tree is sanctified on the fourth year to God. And then on the fifth year, it's supposed to receive for the kingdom of the people. You see, so this is why Jesus said to the Father in that parable, give it 4 years because of the law that's in Leviticus chapter 19. So I brought this to the first elder. The first elder, man, let me look into that. So he brought it to his next elder, and the next elder just started dogging it out. Nah, that ain't what that means. Da-da-da-da-da. He didn't research it. He didn't pray about it. He didn't even ask the Lord about it. He just blasted on it, right? Then I took it to the elders of all of them, and I said, bro, look, what about this here and what about that? And, you know, and this the 4 years here and the tree and being planted and this, that, and the other. He looked at me and said, man, I've been wondering about that. Bro, where you get that from? I've been wondering about that. And he looked at me, and his eyes lit up, and he smiled for real, you know, with his eyes. I ain't never seen him smile with his eyes. You know, he always looking at you all mean mugging and whatnot. He said, man, I've been wondering. And he saw it. But see, the brother read his Bible for, one, two, three, four times and still reading it. Amen. So some of these elders never read their Bible. Never. They only been getting bits and pieces. So they can't. So they understand it is minimal, you know, at best, you know, which is sad because some people would approach them about for answers of God and it won't be there, you know. So anyway, this is that thing, right? So immediately he disputed it without seeking God. He spoke evil of something that was a dignity, something that belonged to the law, something that belonged to Levi, something that the Father was showing the priest. Something that Jesus showed us, man. You baptized, you planted, you got 4 years. Man, you better show some fruit in 4 years. If you still running them bricks, you still acting wild, you still out here whoring around or whoremonging around or a busybody in their people's stuff, and you ain't got, and you ain't showing no repentance, that's when he said, cut that tree down. Sometimes you see people do that, they get worse and worse and worse. And I've seen some people that did that, and they can't even talk anymore. The Lord just took their speech from them all together and said, this is what happened to a busybody. Now, everybody, pay attention to what just happened. And, yeah, I was instructed with that one. I kind of seen it coming. I wasn't wishing on it because, you know, that's not something that we're supposed to do, but I seen that one coming. Because this person was a real busybody, always got their mouth on people, and the Lord shut it down. Anyway, it said, is this such a nation that I have chosen? Is this such a fast that I have chosen, right? He said, no. He said, let me read this again. He said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate. You smite with the fist of wickedness. You know, we had this commercial when I was growing up, after school commercial, you know, when you get home, man, little rascals busting and speed racing. He said, you know, a fist hard hit harder than words. And so we have to choose our words when we talk to children, man. And I'm like, man, you know. And I thank God that my daddy never said anything like it was cruel to me like that. You know, talk to me any kind of way and didn't address me like that. My mom's, well, when she was hot and she was mad at me, well, she would say some things. But then I owned it, you know what I mean? But as a whole, she didn't talk to me like that. She didn't smite me with the fist of wickedness. But you know how you were bad, you know. Look at here, I'm going to beat your, you know, like that. That's coming. You know, you earned that. But just to be talking about you ain't no good, you just like this, you just like that, she ain't never do that to me, you know. But my dad, he never put me on blast like that, you know. He just wasn't. I think I can count on, well, 1, 2, 3 times he actually put his hand on me. 3 times in his 77 years. You know, that's what kind of man he was. Anyway, so words is the wickedness that he's talking about here. Now, if this is, he's talking about somebody with the fist of wickedness, so these are devils. Because it ain't holy. If you out here sowing discord and you speaking evil of this person, you're sowing devils. You're sowing evil seeds. You're planting evil seeds. You're the devil. You're that parable that God is talking about. Wait a minute. The devil has sowed evil seeds among them. And then the angel said, shall we come down and pluck them up the paths with the wheat? He said, no, I separate them at the harvest. Don't worry about it. He wasn't talking about the world. He was talking about the camp. He was talking about the class. He's talking about the church, the synagogue, whatever you want to call it. That's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about the world. You missed that. He's talking about people inside your congregations are sowing seeds of evil and wickedness among the good ground, which is people that are really decent. And they know they decent. And they want to see if they think that they can, you know, get them with their mouth and then come up with all this wickedness and then bring them to their point of nothing. But they was nothing, but this is what they do. Got to be careful with that. Trust. People are out here like that. Anyway, it says, behold, you fast for strife and debate. You smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. I'm not hearing you. You out here debating and stuff like that. You full of strife and wickedness. I'm not hearing you. He said, is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? People run into the atonement with this noise. No, it's not the atonement. This is a fast that he's really talking about. Listen at it. He said, is it not to bow down his head in bulrushes or spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast as an acceptable day unto the Lord. And Jesus killed that. He killed that when he came in the flesh. He said, no, man, you can't be doing that. Wait a minute. That's not the fast that he chose. Wait a minute. Let's look at that. We're going into Matthew chapter 6. And he said, watch this, 6 and 1. He said, take heed that you do not your alms before man. And this is what people do, and it's sad, because social media will teach us to do that. This word out, okay, all right, well, that's all good. Do that. That's a beautiful thing. People are more visual than students. Me, I thank God that I was raised on the radio, listening to broadcasts and listening to people feed my imagination. I love that stuff. Anyway, let me finish. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before man and be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. If you're going to feed the hungry, man, don't tell anybody. Just get you a group of people. Say, hey, man, I got some work to do. What? I just ordered like about 100 pounds of meat. I'm going to cook it, and we're going to go feed some people. But don't be putting it out there, man. Are you in? You know, where that person will be like, yeah, I'm in. But you don't want to tell nobody. Yeah, I'm telling you. Oh, okay. And don't be on social media, man. This is between us and God. The only reason I'm asking you is because this is going to be between us and God. Okay. Then you go get the next dude like Jesus, right? Hey, I'm doing such and such. I'm about to feed some people. Yeah, yeah. I told my man here, I'm asking you, please don't get on social media with this. It's a work between us and God. Really? Yeah. Then how do people go know where to be? We're not looking for people to show up. We're going where the people that are hungry at. We don't need people to show up to act like they were doing something. That's what Jesus chose the 300 and Judges. Because then we was going to take the victory onto ourselves because of numbers. No. You go where they at. We know where the people hungry at. We know where the homeless at. We know where the poverty areas at. So you set up. You put the food out there. You got your sign. You got your food. You got your sign, whatever wares you're working with. And let the people that the God of Israel sent them to you. And then they'll ask, how did we get here? What's the point of what y'all doing here, man? We just trying to feed some people, man. That's all to it. And then you let them put you on Facebook. You let them put you on blast because they're going to start calling people that need this. It says, and be therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Yeah, see, there it is. You don't sound a trumpet. Yeah, we finna get ready to do this all on Facebook Live. No, that is not what he's sounding trumpets. He said, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. To do something like that, you're either a hypocrite or you're going to look like a hypocrite, and you don't want to do or sound like either or. And that's all to it. And it says this, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, see, that they may have the glory of men, verily I say unto you, they had a reward. So everybody high-fiving and giving them five and pats on the back and this, that, and the other, and they getting their glory. And that's sad because whatever they just put into this, all this work they put into it, didn't hit the throne. It fell on the ground. They got their glory. They got the high fives. They got the glory of man. That's not what we in this for. We're not in this to show other people how we out here being about the Father's business. Nobody should know that we out there about the Father's business. Nobody. Just be about it. I remember we was out there street ministering and we used to record, and I said, you know what? We shouldn't even been doing that. We shouldn't even been recording those moments. We should have just been out there rocking the gospel. You know? Now, let's look at this, and I'm telling you now, that's a real fault to me. I wish we had never done it. Anyway, it says this. It says that they may have glory of man. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But when thou doest thine arm, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy arms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. See? This is that thing. He said, so when we was out there street rocking, we shouldn't have had no video cameras or none of that. We should have just been rocking, right? It says this. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on a corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, we're not supposed to be doing that. The Lord has given us. He said, but when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. He's not talking about a physical closet. Hey, you may not even have a closet to enter into. He's talking about the privacy of your mind. Shut your mouth. Don't speak it out into the open. You need a breakthrough. The last thing you need to do is speak it out in the open. Some people be sitting there, but you need to speak it out in the open and claim it. That's not what the law said. The law said, according to Solomon, chapter 8, 35-something to the 42, somewhere in between there, he said this. He said, when anybody's praying toward this place, He said, for thou only know plagues of a man's heart, and when they seek thee in their heart, reward them and forgive them. So he's not talking about praying out in the open. He's talking about when you need a breakthrough, you pray in secret. Now, if you, like, and you and your brother go to a hospital, and then y'all see another brother sitting there, or in, you know, y'all see a brother, he needs to be prayed over, then that's another conversation. But you don't put on a video camera, go Facebook Live or, you know, Instagram and all that type of nonsense. You don't do that. You pray, and that brother pray over this individual in secret. Amen. That nobody will know, only but the Father. You see, the Lord had sent us to pray. Me and his brother went to pray for this brother, and he had the wrong spirit, man. He did. He started talking about that brother after we prayed and anointed him with oil. I can't, this brother was this, that brother was that. While we was in the elevator, and the elevator went boom, and it felt like the ceiling caved in on us. We were shook. And I looked at him, and I don't think we ever did that again together. Not alone, not me and him. The Lord didn't let it happen anymore. But that happened. God is my witness. He shut the elevator down. I thought we was in a crash through anointing that man. And he started talking about his faults. Anyway, it says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or in the corners of the street that they may be seen of man. But I realize only they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter to thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. This is that thing. And so let me read that. Let me read what Solomon said. Because Jesus actually just quoted Solomon here. And then we're going to get back to that on Isaiah. 1 Kings chapter 8, And he's dedicating the temple and the tabernacles. And I'm going to read what he said. What did I say? It was in the late 30s, right? Okay, all right. Let's see. There it is. 8:38. It says this. And what prayer and supplication whatsoever be made by any man, not just an Israelite, any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plagues of his own heart and spread forth his hand toward this place. See, this Israelite, I ran into him at this gas station. He was one of them cats that didn't believe that anybody else was getting into the kingdom. I've quoted this scripture, and he got mad at me. Actually, you know, the spirit. That's why I said people don't know that they're dealing with devils, right? So he said this. He said, this is 39. Then hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only know the hearts of all the children of men. So telling us to keep your mouth shut. I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart unless you open your mouth. The devil don't know your heart unless you open your mouth. If you're looking for a breakthrough, the last thing you need to be doing is opening your mouth. If you petition God and the breakthrough come through, you know it's from God because you've left that on the altar, right? If it don't come through, you know it wasn't from God. Isaiah 58. I got it right this time. Isaiah 58 in verse 6, because that's where we left off at. He said this. He said, Isaiah 58 and 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? It ain't had nothing to do with fasting. You know, putting sackcloth and all this stuff on their heads and looking all disfigured and pitiful and, you know, like some people on the atonement wearing black. Why? We're black on the Passover. That's when Jesus died. You a saint. Man, if you're on the atonement, you got the prayers of the saints going up. You're supposed to be in white. Linen, you a thing. But anyway, it says this. It says, is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, right? Not bring wickedness. Loose it. Loose the bands of wickedness. Remember now, people are entertaining angels and unaware. So our responsibility is to heal the people. Listen, these are the angels that they bound by wickedness, heavy burdens, oppressed, and heavy yokes. That's what he's saying. We're supposed to be setting them free. Remember, as bonds with them, because some of us are still dealing with these things, right? But because the Lord set us free in some of these things, we can set them free by the liberty that God given us. These are the devils we're supposed to be setting free. Watch this. Then he said this. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, both physical and spiritual? You know, you're going to feed somebody physically, but really you want to give them the spiritual bread, which is the word of God. And it says this, that thou bringest the poor that I cast out to thy house. You know, now, this is a good question. You know, you just don't bring anybody off the street. Like, you know, you got some guy out there signing and got a sign and he homeless or whatnot. You want to bring him to your crib. You don't want to do that because this cat may be a thief or a murderer or whatever. You don't do that, right? But somebody you know, somebody that's a family member that lost their crib, you know, because of circumstances, that's who he's talking about. Somebody that you know that's a really close friend, lost their job. That's who he's talking about. When thou seest the naked, thou shalt cover him. Naked isn't always clothing, because the 21st century, you know, people ain't walking around naked, you know, like back in this day. Sometimes back in the day, your clothes was your money, you know. And so people walk around butt naked because they hock their clothes for food. But this is the nakedness that he's talking about. He's talking about covering people's nakedness, this nakedness. Women are re-breaking yokes. We're setting people free, right? This is the thing that he's talking about right here in Revelation chapter 3. It says this. He says, Revelation chapter 3 and 14, he said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that are neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. That's, you know, that's the top of that Isaiah. They approach me as a nation that's doing righteousness. They delight in approaching God, right? He's talking to the church of the Laodiceans. That's Isaiah 58 right here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now watch this. He says, verse 16. He said, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. See, some of us is playing games with the word of God, you know. We're not hot. We just playing games. We playing church. We got everybody thinking that we really believe in God, and we out here bad, just as wicked as the devil himself. In fact, we got the devil saying, dang. Anyway, verse 17, it says this, verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich, disconnect the spirit, pride, because thou sayest, I'm rich, and increase with good, pride, have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the naked that he was talking about covering. See, these are all devils. Wretched. All right, well, let's look it up. Wretched. What do wretched mean to us? Let's start looking up these devils. Wretched. You know, this is a 21st century term that people is using nowadays to, you know, to fire off on people, so to say. Wretched. Wretch. What does this mean? A miserable, unfortunate, or unhappy person. Ooh, so they don't want you to be happy. They miserable. They don't want to see the light of God on you because they don't have any. They don't want you to be at peace because they don't have any peace. They miserable. That's what he just said. Miserable, poor. He said, they are wretched and miserable. Oh, my God. Unfortunate. Unhappy. Unhappy means you're not blessed. Happy is up under blessed. The word happy is a synonym for blessed. Unhappy is a word for cursed. Person regarded as base, mean, or despicable. And we got a cartoon that's teaching these children to be despicable me's. Seriously? We playing that cinema for them and teaching them this wickedness? Remember now, they are trying to take over the world and kill people. A despicable person, a person of pity for his misfortune. It's a deplorable, unfortunate, or unhappy person. You can tell by the conversation that they're unhappy. You know, that's a wretch. That's a wretched person. Oh, my God. Wretch, perform some wicked deed. A person that perform wicked deeds, they're wretched. He said, a person without moral scruples, they'll do anything before God, no fear. Unfortunate person who suffer from some adverse circumstance. A poor thing, unfortunate. poor soul, poor devil, a devil, a miserable creature, a scoundrel. I don't look up this word scoundrel because there's a film named after scoundrel. What did it mean? A worthless, villainous person. Wretched means a worthless, villainous person. A villain is somebody that's a criminal, someone that willingly break the law. A criminal, unprincipled, dishonorable person, a villain. So they dishonorable. They are dishonor anything in themselves. They call scoundrels. Oh, mean or base in nature, villainous, dishonorable, wicked, or evil person. Someone who does evil deliberately. Oh, my God. This is a scoundrel? Villain, an unwelcome person. You know how many people that we have came to the conclusion that they were no longer welcome in your presence because of this spirit? They are scoundrels. Oh, my God. If we, every last one of us know someone that we will not let in our presence because they are of this nature. These are devils. He said, an unwelcome person. You don't welcome the devil. A person none greater. What is grata? Oh, no, no, no. An unacceptable or unwelcome person. It's definitely Latin. Yeah, it's Latin. Okay, all right. That's. Let me see if I can find anything there. A person who is for some reason is not wanted or welcome. An unwelcome person, individual, mortal person, somebody, someone, soul. Disagreeable person, an unpleasant person. So, a thankless. They unthankful. Ooh, this is pushing up on reprobate. It said a wretch. There it is. There go that word again. What is this again? Oh my God. Gloomy, disputable person. A party people, a party pooper, a killjoy. You know, somebody that's always, you know, you could be happy and everything be good, or you could be at peace and here they come killing your peace. An annoyer, a vexer, someone that affects your spirit, a bad hat, a mischief maker. They are in the mischiefs. I want to look this word up, mischief, because this is a devil. He said, because he spoke of this in Proverbs chapter 6. Up under a forward spirit, right? So let's look up a mischief maker. It says someone who deliberately stirs up trouble. Ooh, that's under wretched. It says a troublemaker, a troubler, an unwelcome person. So when a person, you start seeing doors shut down on them, they are no longer welcomed by people who are peaceable or trying to be peaceable. This is that thing. An agitator, a disturber of the peace, a heckler, hellion, devil. See? These are devils. Hellbound. They on their way to the lake. A provoker. They provoke you to sin. They'll provoke other people to sin. Cause them to sin. Firebrand. The Lord spoke of them in Proverbs chapter 28 as a talebearer. Yeah, let's look at that right quick. We're going to get back to this because he did call him a firebrand, 26. These are devils, man. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 17, he said, he that passeth by and meddle with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that take up a dog by the ears, as a madman who casts a firebrand. There it is, firebrands and arrows and death. Oh, so is the man that deceives his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? See, they are deliberately loud to you or cast stumbling blocks before you. They're wretched. And they think they godly because he said today, he said, we have need of nothing. I'm rich. I know God. Whoa, that's them. And it says this. He said, so is he that deceiveth his neighbor. He said, where there is, well, okay, verse 20. So where no wood is, their strife goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Talebearers. He called them wretched. And he said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and fire wood to the fire, so is a contentious man who kindles strife. Okay, let's finish looking at this. These devils, right? It said a blusterer, a loudmouth. Oh, they clamorous. They loudmouth. They are trying to overtalk you. They're not listening. They trying to outtalk you. They loudmouths. They don't have the capacity of listening. They don't have the spirit of listening. Hoaxer. Wait a minute. I got to look up this word. Oh, not what hoaxer means. well, no. Hoax is up under joke. A rioter. Ooh, my God. It's a rioter. Let's look at this. A wild or turbulent disturbance created by a large number of people. Law, a violent disturbance of the public peace or by three or more persons. So they stir up madness. They'll try to gather people and stir up wickedness to justify their wickedness. This is what they do. And God is warning us against them. He said, unrestrained outbreak, and they will laugh at it. They will laugh at it. He said, laughed as of a laughter. So they will laugh at wickedness. They'll laugh at the wickedness that they perform in. Oh, I thought rioter was like a party or something like that. No, man. He said, to live wildly, engage in uncontrolled, right, there it is, uncontrolled reverie, to waste. They wasteful. Okay, we got, okay, let's look at this. Oh, let's grab these synonyms. Bad hat, mischief maker, troublemaker, troublesome. Ooh, a troubler. So all of these are devils, man. They trouble, they are bad hat. Okay, let's look at bad hat. I thought that was just like a slang word, but let's look, this word keep popping up. So let's look at bad hat. Mischief maker, troublemaker, troublemaker, troubler, unwelcome person, persona non grata, agitator, formator, disturber, hellion, devil, heller. These are all devils, man. They covered in this. This is why Jesus, when he asked that man, he said, what's your name? He said, Legion. These are the legions. These are the spirits that are in that individual. Oh, my goodness. Inciter, instigator, provoker, firebrand. That's what that thing in Proverbs. It said blusterer, loudmouth, cut up, hoaxer, practical joker, okay, rioter. Okay, we good there. All right, so we're going back. We read mischief. Scoundrel. Let's finish that one. Scoundrel. I think we did. No, let's look at rogue. Bastard. Scoundrel is a bastard. A bastard would never see the kingdom. A bastard is someone without the father. A villain. a cheat. They cheat. They cheat. They not fair. They cheat. Shit. They shit. The book, they just said a scoundrel is a piece of shit. I'm reading the definition. They are called shit. A bugger. A swine. So he said, don't cast your pearls before scoundrels. A rascal. Son of a bitch. Ooh! Asshole. A turd. A wretch. Incredible. Mother trucker. Rottener. Reprobate. Scumbag. Good for nothing. Scamp. Blackguard. I ain't never heard that word before. Blackguard. Let me look that one up. What is that? Blackguard. An unprincipled, contemptible person. Scoundrel. There it is again. It says a blackguard. A blackguard. See, these are all devils that fall up under wretched. See, people. Thoroughly unprincipled person. A scoundrel, thoroughly unprincipled, a foul-mouthed person, unprincipled, contemptible person, scoundrel, denounced, abusive, with language, behave like a blackguard, contemptible person, okay, man, this is really someone who's morally reprehensible, a dirty dog, a villain, let's see, stupefied, foolish, abuse, shout. So they abuse and they shout, they holler, revile, vilify, rail, they rail on people, lash out, attack, snipe, assail, assault. They will assault you. They will lash out at you. They will attack you. They will snipe you. These are those cursed. They are cursed. The books say they are cursed. A black heart, a black guard is a curse. These are devils, man. Abuse, assail, assault, attack, behavior, be mock. They'll mock you. They're a dog. Expose. This is becoming depressing. Okay, let's get back to wretch, right? A loser, miserable, underdog, underprivileged, unfortunate, miserable. Those are Spanish words, Latin for those things. And it's, once again, it goes into base, a base. Coward, cunwards. Yeah, cowards. They cowards. Like I said, once again, someone that's always trying to overtalk you, they're afraid of what you're about to tell them or say to them. They're afraid of the spirit that may fall out of your mouth. Hard-hearted, that's in Ezekiel chapter 2, hard-hearted, unfortunate, a loser, miserable. Miscreant. What is a miscreant? One who behaves badly, breaking rules or conduct or the law. Oh, that's them. Let me get back. I love this here dictionary. A wrongdoer. All this is up under wretched, y'all. So we keep finding these devils, they keep getting worse and worse. That's why Jesus said he'll clean you up. But if you go back to wickedness, you end up with seven worse, man. We don't want this conversation. And these are what he's talking about. A wrongdoer, a villain, an unbeliever, a heretic. They know they don't believe God, even though they know God. So God is calling them heretics. They're around the church, but they don't believe it. Or else they would change. They would repent. Deprived. Deprived of what? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, a heretical, villainous, a vicious or deprived person, infidel, reprobate, offender, wrongdoer, degenerate, deviate, a pervert, black sheep. Ooh, what is that? Scapegrace? I ain't never heard this one. This is one that's new on me. Scapegrace. Not scapegoat. Scapegrace. Like scape mercy. Watch this. Woo. A persistent rascal. Reckless and unprincipled reprobate. A reprobate person. That's it. They just without morals and scruples. They reprobate. A scapegrace is a reprobate. Oh, my God. That's it. It says a black sheep, good for nothing, knave, miscreant, reprobate, scamp, scoundrel. Okay. All this is up on the wretch, y'all. Okay? Malefactor. That's what he called them on the cross, malefactors. Let's look at that. One who has committed a crime, criminal, wrongdoer or evildoers, right? So they wrongdoers or evildoers on the cross, they committed crimes. That's why the one dude said, we deserve what we getting, but he haven't done anything to deserve what he's getting, right? And then he asked him, he said, Lord, remember me when thou enter to thy peace. A person who violates the law, not violated, violates the law. A malefactor is somebody who violates the law. They deserve death because they were on a cross. The Lord broke their legs. He said they deserve death. A person who does evil willfully. What he said, what's that word in the law? Not permissive. What's that word that he used? He called one sin ignorant, and then the other sin he called, it began with a P. Oh, my God. I can't think of the word right now. Someone who has committed a crime or has been legally convicted of a crime, a criminal, a crook, a felon, an outlaw, a firebird, a blackmailer, an extortioner, a briber, a conspirator. Ooh, they would conspire against the kingdom or the word or a good word, a conspirator, a plotter, a desperado, a criminal, a fugitive. Isn't that what he called Cain? A fugitive from justice. So when he said, Cain said, I'm a fugitive, he said he was a fugitive from the law, which is holy, just, and good. Oh, my goodness. A hijacker. They are steal righteousness. A hood. So okay, there it is. They hoods, they hoodlums, punks, thugs, goons, a kidnapper, let's see, well, I guess we got to that, a thief, a traitor, treasonous, law offender, lawbreaker, violator, a criminal, a lawbreaker, presumptuous. That's that word in the law. Presumptuous. That's the sister word to willful. So in the law, he said there's no sacrifice for someone who commit presumptuous sins. There is no sacrifice. Christ is not getting back on the law, back on the cross for you. You are going to die in your sins. No matter how much we forgive, ask for forgiveness. If we out here being criminals and lawbreakers or violators of the law, plural, there is no more sacrifices. You will become a sacrifice for someone who needs a sacrifice. Arsonist, a briber, a conspirator, a culprit, delinquent, criminal. Amen. Let's go back to the scriptures. Wow. I didn't see that coming. Okay. All that's up on the red, y'all. So this is why we got to be careful about our conversations, and this is why we got to be careful about what we're doing, because all this came from pride. And we want to go back to the Isaiah. He said in verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich, and increase. What you mean? Who you think you are? Whoa, that's that conversation. Oh. Okay, I'm thirsty. Wow. Man, I got to take a pause for the calls, man. I ain't see none of this coming up on the wretch, Jack. That's me. That's me. You know how many times I read this scripture? And didn't look up this word as in this detail, coward. A wretched person is a coward. Ooh. Oh my God, please forgive me for not being more studious. I did not look this word up to this degree. But here we are. We all studying together, and we hope to God that we get something out of this, right? Clove, it says, I counsel thee to buy of me. Now, here's the warning. This is the warning of this person. This is your warning. This is it. You get this warning. You get one warning. Just like the forward person, they got one warning. If you do not take this warning, you will die in your sins. This is it. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich with white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. See, that's why we ended up here, because he said, do not you clothe the naked. And he's not talking about physically clothed. He's talking about clothing them with righteousness instead of uncovering their nakedness and putting it all over the place. Remember now, we found out up on the wretched that these people are talebearers. They will go and try to sow their score and turn people against you. This is the devils that they're up under. Excuse me, I just made this this 1,000cc drink, man, you know. And I've just been holding it while I've been reading this, man, and I'm like, whoa. I'm sorry, I gotta take a pause, man. This is a lot. This is a lot. I didn't see this coming. This is a lot. All this is up under nakedness. He said, do not thou cover the naked. He said, so if I read this again, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's those of us that have been through it and, you know, has cleaned our act up, right? We were wretched. We were these people, but we cleaned our act up, right? So he said this, he said, that thou mayest be rich. And he said, with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. So we're supposed to clothe the people with white raiment, with and cover their shame, which is their sin. We're supposed to cover their shame and their sin. This is why when somebody confess false to you and sins to you, we're not supposed to run and put it all over the place, cover it, and keep it secret. We're supposed to actually, you know, pray with that individual and ask that individual not to tell nobody else, because you don't want them to come back and say, man, you've been talking about me. No, you've been running your mouth about your own situation and you done told it to the wrong person. And they uncovered it. Don't come back to me with your madness. I left it on the throne, you know, where it's supposed to be. And that's where it's supposed to go. You're not supposed to take people's sins off the altar once you pray with them. You're supposed to leave it there. That's the sacrifices. That's what priests do. That's a part of the Levitical priesthood. You cannot take the sacrifice off of sin offerings are not supposed to be taken off of the altar. You see? You can't do that. Once you give it to the priest, you can't go back and get it. That belongs to the priest. Where were we? Why? Because remember now, offered it, when he offered a sin offering, he took the inward parts. He took the liver, the gall, the bladder, and he offered that as something else. And the fat, right? And the fat represent, you know, like when we be fasting and such, you know, that represent our prayers, man. We burning the fat, you know, from our temple. You know what I mean? So that's that thing, you know. So the Lord is receiving this fat that we burning through fasting, right? That's why we started this offering with fasting and prayer. So naturally, we would end this in this matter, right? All praises. So anyway, let's see. He said this. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich in white raiment. You're not rich. In fact, you piss poor. But he's trying to make you rich like he did in the book of Proverbs. You know, seek these things. Seek after these things like hidden treasures. That's how you become rich. Wisdom is wealth. He said this. He says, if thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. See what? Your own sins versus somebody else's. Because, you know, most people think, you know, that the discerner of spirits, they always catch somebody else's faults, man. Oh, yeah, this person here, this person is that. I felt it. You know, I felt it. Like, they some persons, you know. The Lord, they never put God first. I. So it says this. It says that thou mayest see what? Your own sins. We're going to get back to that Isaiah 58. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. So this is this thing. He will sit down and he will teach you about yourself first, you know, because that's the first thing he do. He teach us men about us. So that's the first thing he did with Adam. He said, Adam, you created in my image. You have this, that. You can do this. So he's going to teach us about ourselves. Now with us, not only do we have to tell us, look, man, you have this, and you have that. You need to get rid of also, because of sin came into the picture, you have to get rid of this, and that, right? So he had to teach us, like, double. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, right? Okay, let's go back to Isaiah, because we left off when he said, do not thou cover the naked, right? So let's finish that up, because we want to look at this as the atonement. No, man, he's telling us what real fasting is, and that is not to put your mouth on people. You got to refrain from that. That's burning. You know, man, this person just told me this and just told me that, and you weak in the head, you might run and tell somebody. You get on the phone, like somebody just got to, well, I got to say, man, my mom's like notorious for being on the phone talking about people. Her and her girlfriend used to talk about people like dogs, man. I mean, for hours on the phone, cord that was like 20 feet long, because she walked from the kitchen to the living room, back to the bedroom, and then sometimes the cord would get heated over the stove and start to melt, and then it'd have a melted spot because she couldn't stop talking. Right. That was my mom's, man. I mean, she seriously was a tale bearer. And like I said, I was brought up as a Jehovah Witness, right? And mom's taught me how not to serve idols. God bless her. And she didn't play with idols. You know, we didn't celebrate Christmas, you know, like that. I think we had like one or two Christmases or something, maybe three. In my lifetime with her, I can remember. And she passed when I was like 24 or 5 or something like that. So 23 years, I can literally say that we didn't celebrate the birth of Tammuz. We didn't do that. So anyway, it says in verse 4, let's pick it back up there. You fast for strife and debate. That's that thing we read in Revelation chapter 17. There it is. You rich. You know, I'm rich and I don't need nothing. I'm fasting. You know, they say, kidding me? And then he said, you smite with the fist of wickedness. You should not fast as you do as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. And I had a brother go here to say, well, see, you don't keep the atonement like that. You don't fast and you don't afflict your soul. This is not how you fast. Man, I said, dude, man, however you get down, you be down with that. But you, of course, like the SS mental on that one. Anyway, he's, let me see. My family, we fast on the atonement. Well, the day on the ninth day, and then we have a feast on the tenth day. The ninth day you're supposed to afflict yourself. From the ninth day, from evening to evening, and the tenth day is the atonement. After the Lord seen that you fasted on the ninth day, now he can go to the Lord and say, "Oh, guess what? He fasted the whole day." Some of us on the atonement don't make it the whole day, you know, and think that and be like messed up. You see, well, you didn't make it the whole day. You just got to wait the next year, God willing, we live, right? That's on you. You just got to do it next year all over again. And maybe you can fast throughout the year and let the Lord know you're trying, you're getting yourself muscled up for the atonement next year, right? Okay. It said, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? That's what we just got through doing with that word wretch. That's loosing the band, because none of us want to be considered wretched anymore. Nobody, none of us. He said, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Because see, those spirits that we were reading are yokes. They bound people bound, right? And remember now, we started this off in Hebrews, people are bound. And we in bonds with them, because we aren't having been delivered in totality. That's why we are the Feast of the Pentecost, because that feast is made with leavening. That's us. We still got sin, right? But the wave offering is Jesus Christ 100. That feast is without leavening, man. Oh, my God. It says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, once again spiritual, and to bring the poor that I cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that's what we just got to reading about. We tried to cover his naked. Well, we're trying to cover nakedness. That thou covers him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Boom. Don't even hide yourself from your sins. If, excuse me, if we examine ourselves, we wouldn't be quick to judge. You know why? Because we're too busy looking at ourselves. We know that God is in us. He know us. So we better know ourselves. We better be praying that God deliver us from these faults, man. Especially if we got that tail-bearing spirit and we want to be talking about people, right? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. So if you out here tail-bearing, you can bring bad health upon you? Wow. No wonder that took place. I didn't see that coming. So out here tail-bearing and putting your mouth on people, you can bring bad health on you. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. He was thy reward at the first, but you fell off and you started becoming judgmental, and you started becoming God. Instead of letting God be God, you became God and decided that you gonna judge everybody and their mama versus letting him judge people. And he said this, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Ooh. And he said, if he gonna answer you, if thou take away from the midst of thee, the middle of you, not the church, not the congregation, you. You take from the midst of you the yoke. You're putting yokes on people by pointing out their shortcomings. We put yokes on people by uncovering their nakedness. We putting yokes on people by tail-bearing and gossiping. That's how you put yokes on people. And then, of course, burdens are going to take place because now they got to walk around with this madness that the whole congregation, those that are weak, are going to misjudge them because they should have been forgiven, and you brought wickedness instead. It goes on. If thou take away from the midst of thee the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. That's what he's talking about doing on the Sabbath day. Your pleasure. Talking about people and putting forth the finger. He ain't talking about watching a football game or, you know, sex. Whoops. Did he say that? Did I say? Yeah, man. Sex is pleasure. But I just got one question. If the marriage bed is undefiled, when can it be defiled? If that's an absolute statement, when can a marriage bed be defiled at any time? I'm just asking that question. You got to point that out. And the only time you can answer that question to me is when somebody else is sleeping in your bed. What did that song just pop in my head? Okay. Right. Drew Hill. Let me get that out. Lord rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. All right. It says this. Thou shalt not hide thyself from thy own flesh. It said, then shall thou light break forth. I'm in the 8 again. He says, and then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That's why he told us, know you not that you miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He, you know, we think we good, but we not good. He said, look, try gold fired. You know, I'm going to send you somebody that's been tried in a fire. You know, well, now watch this here. Now I'm going to send somebody that's been tried in a fire. He's not going to look like you think. He's not going to be coming in on a white horse or no charger looking like the second coming of Jesus. He's going to look like John the Baptist. Somebody that's living in the wilderness going to be like that kind of individual. He's going to be that servant. He's going to be a voice crying out in the wilderness. And he said this. He said, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger and speaking vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall, see, he's not talking about an atonement here. Also, he wouldn't be talking about food. He said, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as noonday. Why? Because you're going to see your sins, and you're going to see your darkness as noonday so that you can repent, so that we can repent. Like I said, the first exorcism is us. We got to see ourselves first before we go out here talking about we're going to save somebody. Now, we better save ourselves from this untoward generation, right, with this madness that we out here performing. And he said this. He said, verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and a spring of water whose water fails not. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. Woo! That's Prada, baby. That's Prada. That's water. That's water right there. You can't get a... That's 11 right there. That's from God. He said, I'm going to call you the repairer of the breaches, the repairer of the path, the restorer of the path to dwell in. You're going to bring people that was off the path, that lost their way on narrow path because they got lost. We get lost in ourselves. We get lost in our madness, right? Oh, my God. Bring in our Prada, baby. Okay. Let's see. It says this. And thou shalt turn away thy foot. It said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Now we found out what that is. Speaking vanity and putting forth the finger. Okay. Okay. The whole thing was self-explanatory from 1 to 14 is self-explanatory, right? So it says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, not speaking thy own words. Once again, tale-bearing on the Sabbath day. Now, go that five words what Paul said, if I can give understanding with five words with my own understanding, give 10,000 words with an unknown tongue, not tale-bearing on the Sabbath. Okay, six. Okay, cool. I'm good. I'm just trying to put that out there, right? I'm with Paul on that one. No tale-bearing on the Sabbath. Oh, back to five. No tale-bearing on the Sabbath. Five. Words with understanding. Amen? Amen. So he said, verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon high places of the earth. This is the high places of the earth, the wisdom of God. People want to sit up here, man, you learn the Lord, you're going to be in front of kings. Knock that off. Okay, if you get there like Daniel and stuff like that, that's a cool thing. That's a beautiful thing. But he's talking about here. He's talking about the word of God here. These are the high places that he's talking about. Places, these are those secret things that God is talking about. This is that right here. He said, look at what he said. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Whoa. Okay, y'all. Well, we're going to hold this here, and God willing we live, we're going to get back to some of this here spirits and beware spirits. Now we see the gravity of being aware spirits, man, and that all this devilry and all this, you know, that's all sensationalism, man. That's all a big hoax, Jack. You know, the dude that was living in the tombs, and they said they could hear him screaming out. Well, that's another thing. You know, I guess that would be that conversation. I guess you would really be jacked up if you was that dude. You know what I mean? We're not trying to have that conversation. We're trying to, trying to get rid of the seven. Right? We're trying to get rid of the seven that he cleaned us up, you know, that we could be clean. We're not trying to find the seven again. We're trying to get rid of them so we can be clean, so the Holy Ghost can fill us up. Right? Right. So, look, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. Man, people, this is a heavy. I didn't know Wretched had the many devils attribute to it, right? So we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, reach your Bibles. Try it again. Amen. There we go. Go get them open.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.